Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
This world is filled with quick fix solutions that don't last and frankly don't work. We're all facing difficult questions and circumstances beyond our control. Are you up against the wall? Well, Jesus can make the difference. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to find out how with Dr. Paul Chappell. Diets to self-help books to relationships and career decisions to family issues, every human being is looking for something that will make a difference, looking for solutions to questions that are bigger than us. Does this describe you? I know it describes me at times. Well, next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study the difference that Jesus makes, because we really do believe, the Bible is clear, Jesus Christ is really the difference that every one of us is longing for in our hearts. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series, The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're going to discover that Jesus is the solution that truly does make a difference for all of eternity. Before we join today's message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. This is the best way to interface with us at Daily in the Word and let us know that you're listening. Click on the Contact Us button, jot us a quick email, and let us know that our program is touching your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us and contributing to our airtime support? Every dollar you invest into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for the costs of airtime that we might continue teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God all across the country. On the website, you'll find a host of other resources and information, locations where Pastor Chappell will be speaking in the coming months, also linked to the Alaska cruise information and so many other resources. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. But first, let's join the message. Our Bibles are open to Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. The message today is about families, and families built around Christ truly make a difference. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Over the past 27 years preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I've had the privilege of meeting many hundreds of families. I've had the joy of going into the homes of hundreds of our church families and folks around the Antelope Valley and sitting down in living rooms and talking about the Lord and talking about family life and how to strengthen our relationships around the Word of God. And every family is distinct, and every family is at a different place in their journey. And every family has an enemy named Satan whose desire is to sift us like wheat and destroy us before we can make a difference for Christ in this world. And most couples that I meet would say that they have a desire for their marriage to be distinctively Christian to the point that it would make a difference in their community and in the lives of their children. And most parents that I meet have a strong desire to raise their children and to send them out like a well-crafted arrow into this world to make a difference for the Lord. That by instilling biblical principles in their hearts and by training them up in the way they should go, that they would not be the run of the mill, but that they would be different. And in being different, they would make a difference in the world in which we live. And I believe that as we hear and apply these passages, that God can work in our hearts and help us to have a family life that is distinct in 2009. I want you to notice this morning as we study the three purposes of the Christian home that God establishes in the Scriptures. Notice, if you will, first of all, God created the family for biblical companionship. And we see that in Genesis chapter 2. The Bible tells us in this passage that God had created Adam, and that from Adam He created Eve to be a helper and to be a completer for Adam. Verse 22 says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman and brought her unto the man." Here we see the first wedding ceremony in the Bible. God is presiding, and Adam and Eve come together as one. Now, someone might say, "I perceive as you speak about Adam and Eve that you believe in a literal creation and that you are a fundamental interpreter of the Word of God." You perceive correctly. We believe that we worship a God so powerful that with His spoken word, He can create the world, He can create man, and from the side of man, God created Eve. And we notice that as we take a look at this biblical companionship, we notice immediately that Adam is accepting gratefully his wife, Eve. We notice that Adam is delighted with her. Notice this in verse 23. The Bible says, "And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." Now, it's very elementary. And yet, let me say that long before the issue was politicized by liberals and Bible deniers, God's ordained way for the family was a man coming together with a woman. Very basic, but very biblical this morning. And God brought Eve to Adam, and Adam saw Eve, and he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." He immediately accepted her with a heart of gratitude. Now, let me say that accepting people and accepting your spouse is always done much easier when you understand how God has accepted you. When you know the security that comes from a loving relationship with God. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse number 6, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Someone that knows that Christ is their Savior, someone who understands how much He has accepted us and forgiven us, is much more prepared to show acceptance in their life. Well, Adam certainly knew the love of God at this time in the early moments of creation and instantly placed his affection and acceptance on his wife. Ephesians 5 speaks of this to the husband, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it," notice this, "even as the Lord the church." This was Adam's heart, and this is the heart of a godly husband, accepting gratefully the wife that God has given. But then we also see in this first portion of the Scripture that this marriage was to be a marriage where they were abiding permanently. This companionship was to be a constant, abiding companionship. Notice that, if you will, as well. The Bible says in verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, this permanent, abiding relationship has three steps in verse number 24. Those steps are leaving, cleaving, and weaving. And I want you to see that in verse 24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother." A lot of times young couples have to take a few months or years to figure all of that out. And it's not just a physical leaving. Sometimes it's leaving habits behind. Sometimes it's giving in to the way you always did something. And sometimes it means having a learning spirit and a humble spirit. I remember when Terry and I were first married, and I came home one night after working the swing shift at Caterpillar Tractor Company, and I was filled from head to toe with dirt and grease, and I walked into the kitchen of our little apartment there in Upland, California, and I went to the refrigerator and grabbed a half gallon of milk. Didn't see anybody looking, so I just started drinking right out of the half gallon of milk, and then I went over to the kitchen sink and grabbed some liquid soap and Ajax and started washing my greasy hands in the kitchen sink. And there's a towel hanging right there on the front of the stove. And I grabbed that towel and got all the grease and muck off onto the towel. That's when my wife cleared her throat from over in the corner. And she looked at me like, you've got a lot of growing to do, Bubba. Let me help you out with a few things here. And that's when I learned that there were towels made for drying your hands and there were towels made for decoration. And I had just dried off my hands on the decoration towel. And I was told right away that I needed to learn to leave some of my habits behind as we became one in this marital relationship. And all of us have things like that that we lay down. We're leaving our father and mother. We're leaving perhaps some of the routines of the past that are not right and wrong issues. They're just issues that perhaps we can set aside. Leaving. Then notice secondly, cleaving. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And that word means to be affixed together, to be glued permanently. And God wants us to enter our marriage relationship with a spirit that is a serious spirit of commitment. Mark 10:7, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And so we see the leaving element and then the cleaving and the commitment. And then we see thirdly, the weaving. Notice that in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God speaks here of the unity of the husband and the wife, weaving a life together. Let me mention two categories where we must be woven together in our lives. First of all, spiritually. God wants us to be one spiritually. That's why we often say to young people in their dating lives, you don't want to date someone that is not a Christian. Be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Why is that? Because you cannot weave together with someone who doesn't know the Lord. And so God's intention is that we would be one spiritually. Ephesians 5:28, we read a moment ago, men are to love their wives. Verse 29, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. But notice verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You see, as children of God, we are a member, if you will, of Christ, and we are one with Christ. And as we come together as the children of God in marriage, we can be one spiritually. And then, of course, one physically. God intends that in marriage there would be one flesh. There would be an intimate, loving relationship between the husband and the wife. Now, we know the world has perverted that concept. And a recent study said that for every time physical intimacy is shown on television, 100 times there will be some type of a relationship shown outside of marriage for every one time it is shown between a husband and wife. And so hundreds of times a week, young people are shown that physical relations and sexual activity outside of marriage are normal and acceptable. Well, let me say, young people, it may be normal in today's society, but it is not the will of God for your life. God's will for your life concerning those matters is that one day you would have a husband or a wife that loves Jesus Christ and that loves you not just for the physical, but because of your relationship with God and because of who you are in Jesus Christ. And because of that spiritual attraction and, yes, that physical attraction, there can be a godly relationship in marriage that is strong and that lasts. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. God intends the spiritual relationship of a marriage and the physical relationship of a marriage to be a bond, whereas they become one flesh, together united in Christ. Now, God intends for every Christian home to be a place of companionship that is built around the principles of the Word of God. But as I said a moment ago, the devil's going to fight that every step of the way. And he wants to tear your marriage apart and your family apart. And sometimes we respond wrongly when it comes to dealing with some of the challenges we face. And I want to give you very quickly 5 improper responses to those marital challenges and those conflicts we face in our family. Notice, first of all, it is wrong when we fail to acknowledge the problem. Sometimes there can come a problem of bitterness. There can come a problem of some type of resentment in our heart. And many times couples will somehow go into a state of denial. And let me say this morning, God wants to resolve that problem. And God wants to bring healing to your family. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." And if we allow these problems to go on and these bitter spirits to remain, many times our family life will go from bad to worse. Denial's not the way to deal with the problem. Secondly, withdrawal from real relationship development. You know, some people just withdraw. They get to a place where they give up. I've counseled families where the husband lives in one house and the wife in another. And some who live in the same house but never speak together. It's as though they've decided, you know, we'll stay together, but we're not going to give an effort at this anymore. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, "Wherefore put away lying every man and speak truth every man with his neighbor." Notice this, "For we are members one of another." God has designed the Christian life for each of us to be related, members, one with another, one flesh. It's not God's will that we live apart. It's not God's will that we let the sun go down on our wrath and give place to the devil. He wants us to work through and find His grace is sufficient for our marriages. And then a third improper way that we see sometimes is people who keep score. Sometimes I meet people who can tell me something that their spouse did 12 years ago that irritated them, or something that five pastors ago irritated them. It seems like people can tell you things that they have harbored for years and years, and that is never the will of God for your life. My friends, some of you this morning need to build a bridge and get over it. Some of you need to learn how to forgive and how to go on with your life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." By the way, how many of you are thankful for God's forgiveness in your life? And God says, I want you to forgive others in that way. I don't want you harboring bitterness and keeping score. The fourth improper response is this: attacking the person instead of the problem. Attacking the person instead of the problem. It's tragic how many times we hear of even Christian men who fly off the handle and they'll say demeaning things to their spouse. They'll curse at their spouse. They'll say things that are degrading, things that a wife cannot change about herself. And I want you to see what the Bible says about that. In Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." You see, we're not the only ones that are ministers here on the platform this morning. But God has called all of us to be ministers. And He says, I want you to minister grace. I want you to say things that are edifying and that build others up. And sometimes if we're not careful, all we say is critical. Sometimes all we see is what needs to be fixed or what is wrong. Billy Sunday once said, try praising your wife, even if it does scare her right at first. And I really believe there's some truth to that, that we need to look for ways to praise and encourage. And then fifthly, the wrong response to marital disunity is allowing anger to linger. This is so dangerous. We see it so oftentimes. People that will take an offense and will allow anger to linger in their life. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26 these words, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And as you study the context of those words, God says you can be frustrated or angry at a problem, but not at a person. Don't get angry at the person, and don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Now listen this morning, men. You show me a man who loves the Lord and he's mature in his faith. You show me a man who's committed to the Word of God and growing in grace towards his wife. A man who knows how to forgive and a man who knows that God has called him to this relationship. And you send that man out of town on business, or you put him in a stressful situation, or even a place of temptation, and that man will stand on the Word of God as a mature Christian. But you show me a man who lets bitterness come into his heart. He doesn't read his Bible. He's living apart from his wife in the sense of their relationship. And he's angry at her, and she frustrates him, and that builds and builds and builds. That man becomes very vulnerable to temptation. And that's what the Bible means when it says, neither give place to the devil. And when you stay angry at your spouse, you're just saying, here I am, devil, here's a big target, take me out. You're giving him place. And God doesn't want you to let the sun go down on your wrath. If you have to humble yourself to the place of coming to get some counseling, or if you have to come to the altar every Sunday morning and weep and ask God to help you and give you strength, I'm telling you, whatever it takes, don't let the devil get place in your relationship. One lady got so frustrated, her husband was always upset, and they were always arguing, and she decided one day, she said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a comeback with him. And she did, and he came in and said some things to her, and she said, look, she said, even a broken clock is right once a day. He looked at her and said, twice a day. You know, you just can't please some people. And they're always looking for fault and something that they can bring against you. But God said, I designed marriage to bring biblical companionship. Leaving, cleaving, and weaving. One flesh. That's the first purpose of marriage if we're going to make a difference. Notice secondly now that God designed marriage for biblical communication. And I do not mean here just gibber-gabbing and talking about stuff. But I do mean biblical communication. God designs the home. Whether you're a single parent today or whatever your family status, it is His desire that in the home, biblical truth would be spoken of, that the Bible would be read, that God would be glorified verbally in the home. Now, turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 6 as we take the overview of the Christian home today. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. The Bible says these words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God is preparing His children to enter into the promised land. And He is teaching us a vital lesson. And here's the lesson, that God wants the families in the land to be right. As the families go, so goes the nation. And I truly believe this morning there's a lesson for us from the children of Israel, from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We see God's interest in the family. Now, God wants the family to speak of His word and to know His word. And the local church is vital in the mix of that, in the teaching and preaching and discipling. And a Christian school and Sunday school are helpful. But the baseline for Christian education is to be the home and the family unit. And the words should be, first of all, recited words. God wants the words recited.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We are studying a series entitled The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're discovering that Jesus is not a quick fix or a self-help solution. He is the eternal truth. He is the God-man that wants to come into your life and have a personal relationship with you. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we invite you to make that decision right now. You, wherever you are, you could bow your head and heart and invite Him into your life as your personal Savior. He will come in and save you, and it is the greatest decision you could ever make. We would love to know if you have trusted Christ as a result of listening to Daily in the Word. Would you take a moment and write to us or call us or contact us via the website? Let us send you a Bible. Let us help you grow in your Christian faith. Before we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with a word of personal greeting.
We're excited about the Alaska cruise coming August 6th through 13th, 2011. I want to invite all of our Daily in the Word listeners to plan now to join with us as we sail north to Alaska, take time daily around the Word of God, enjoy good Christian music, and great fellowship with fellow believers. August 6th through 13th, 2011 will mark a wonderful celebration of God's goodness and grace, and I hope you'll plan to join with us as we sail together to Alaska.
The easiest way to contact us here at Daily in the Word is to visit dailyintheword.org and simply click on the button that says Contact Us. You can send us an email, give us information about yourself, and let us know that our program is ministering to you. We rejoice greatly every time we hear from our listeners, and we know that our program is touching your life. While you're on the website, I encourage you to take a moment and explore. You'll find a lot of resources to help you grow in your Christian life. If you enjoyed today's message, you could hear it again. You could download it. You could give it to a friend and refer those you love. You could also subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and other podcasts from our ministry. But the Daily in the Word podcast will download this program to your iPod or computer or your portable player at your convenience. You can listen to it anytime on the go. You can refer a friend to Daily in the Word if perhaps this program is not broadcast in their area. A lot of other information can be found on the site. One thing I would like to ask you to do in specific, and that is to prayerfully consider contributing and supporting the ministry of Daily in the Word, even on a regular monthly basis. Regardless of the size of your gift to Daily in the Word, your gift will be invested into the airtime costs of this program all across the country. We love to minister, we love to teach and preach the Word of God, but it's listeners like you who faithfully contribute and help us accomplish this mission that really make it possible. If you'd like to be a part of our ministry, you can click on the donate button when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of this edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.